federal government is passing a new law, Families First Coronavirus Response Act, to help Americans and employees in particular deal with this crisis. But will the bill really affect you, and how? With us to discuss the employment law aspect of this bill in the times of COVID-19 is Jill O'Brien. She's a partner with the premier employment law firm in Chicago, Lehner Muchin. Welcome to the show, Jill. You've been on the show before. I appreciate you coming back.
Thanks, Karen.
So let's just talk generally before we talk about this new law. Can your employer tell you to stay at home and work from home?
Yes, the employer can do that right now. So there's some proposed changes that, you know, may take effect as early as tomorrow. The Senate is expected to, you know, vote on a bill that was recently passed by the House of Representatives. But as of now, an employer can say, I want you to work from home. In fact, many of our clients are saying we are going to close the office for business, and we want to require employees to work remotely to the extent they can. But of course, not everybody can.
And so what does the employer have to do to accommodate somebody to work at home? Are there certain things that an employer here in Illinois, does he have to pay for certain things that you use at your home office, which is now becoming your home office?
Yeah. First of all, from a pure pay standpoint, as of right now, and again, this could change tomorrow, but as of right now in Illinois, for an hourly employee, somebody who's considered non-exempt, they only get paid for the time that they actually work. So if they are working from home and they're doing, you know, their normal schedule, their normal work, they would get their normal pay, even though they're no longer working in the office, they're just doing the work from home. That's a lot different for salaried employees, for exempt employees. Those employees are paid on a guaranteed weekly salary. So if they're working from home, and or if they're not able to do their work because their work has to be performed from the office, they're still entitled to receive their guaranteed weekly salary in most cases, with very few exceptions. So if it's hourly, you get your pay only if you're working. If you're salary, you get your continued guaranteed weekly pay. The other thing to keep in mind, though, and I think you hit it, and that is some of these expenses. If there is, and this is a relatively new law in Illinois in terms of requiring employers to reimburse employees for costs of, you know, just regular business expenses that are incurred that are required and necessary to perform their work. So if I'm required to maintain a laptop computer or a printer or a fax machine or a scanner, those are required and necessary for my job. Those are things that the employer would be responsible for reimbursing me for, at least, you know, the portion of the cost that's attributable to my work.
I had this question asked of me. A salesperson was saying, listen, I can't travel, I can't do my sales. Do I get a break when it comes to a commission and bonus schedule, or am I stuck with the same commission schedule? Does my employer have to change it to accommodate this new terrible situation?
Yeah, that's a great question. You asked, does my employer have to? And the answer is no. From a legal standpoint, an employer does not have to tailor its bonus or commission structure for that circumstance. What I'm saying is, I think that we can expect that some employers will do that. And what they might do is they might consider adjusting that time, particularly if this new, if the proposed bill passes, where people will be able to take, employees can take approved leaves of absence if they're getting either medical attention for themselves or a family member who might have been exposed to the virus, or if a doctor said that they are in a high risk situation where, you know, they shouldn't be in public or they shouldn't be at work, either because it might harm themselves or it could harm some others who they come in contact with. And under this new bill, there's even a proposal, a feature that would reimburse employees, even if there is no medical situation involved, but it's simply a matter of employees needing to stay home to be with their young children who aren't able to go to school or their, you know, their child care facilities.
So before we go to this, before we go to this new law, I just want to talk just from a practical standpoint, because you've been doing this a long time, and I have a theory about this. If you are dealing with your employer on these issues, how, you know, your employer wants to accommodate you probably if you're a good worker, right? And your employer is going through a lot of strain right now. And my theory is, when the employer's under strain, don't complain, because it's a problem. But you can talk to your employer, and you can ask your employer to accommodate you. And if you're nice and you try to work something out, it can be done. It's just when I think employees get mad and they get angry, and they, in fear is anger, and they start making demands, that employers become upset and stressed out, and that's when the deal may not be, no one can come to a deal when they're both angry. Do you have some advice to people on how to deal with your employer?
Well, I think, and I have to tell you this, I don't want to sound like Pollyanna, but my experience is that employers really are bending backwards to be reasonable here. Everybody knows that there's going to be more guidance, but for now, they are being reasonable. They are being flexible, and that's really all you can suggest is, instead of saying you have to go to the doctor because you're, you know, one day late, they are, you know, being more flexible on those kind of things. But when you're talking about things like bonuses and commissions and pay and whatnot, I think that the best advice I can say from an employer standpoint is, yeah, cooperate, work together, give and take. I might need Tuesday and Thursdays off because those are days I'm not going to be able to have child care help, but I'm going to volunteer to stay later, you know, on Wednesdays and Fridays when I can do my part. A lot of employers are asking employees to band together, and they're forming committees for this purpose. And I've seen a lot of companies have real good luck with, you know, every other day arrangements even, or, you know, skeletal workforces where, you know, some people work early shift and, or, you know, the first half of the day or the second half of the day. And I think, again, you hit it on the head, and that is just being flexible and reasonable. Nobody likes somebody who comes in with an entitlement. You know, it's not my fair. It's not my fault that this happened. Well, it's nobody's fault. This isn't about fault. This is about making the best of a very difficult situation.
Jill, can you hold us with us on the break? I want to ask you. We didn't even really get to the new law, but I do want you to touch on the points when we come back. Can you hang with us?
Sure.
All right.
Yes.
Great. You're listening to Karen Conti's show. I'm talking to Jill O'Brien with Lehner Muchin about the new employment law. Back to the Karen Conti Show. I'm here with Jill O'Brien from the law firm of Lehner Muchin. She's an expert in the area of employment law, and we're talking about a new law that is likely to be passed by the Senate this week. Jill, thank you for holding on to us. I just want to tell anyone, if they have any questions for Jill or for me, 312-981-7200, or text to that number, 312-981-7200. Jill, let's talk about this bill that was passed in the House. Tell us, from just on the employment level, not it had some other whistles and bells when it comes to testing and that type of thing, testing for the virus. But what are the bullet points of what it mandates for employers?
Okay, so there's two key features, I would say, from an employment standpoint. One is a significant expansion of an existing law that's referred to as the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act. Essentially, under the federal law, which has been around since 1993, employees are entitled to up to 12 weeks of leave of absence, and it's considered job-protected leave of absence if they need to take time off due to a medical condition or to go to a doctor or to get treatment, whether it's due to a health condition of the employee themselves or an employee's family member, if they're caring for somebody who has a medical condition that qualifies as a serious health condition. So this is a law that's been around, and employees are entitled to up to 12 weeks off in a 12-month period for that purpose. So that law has been expanded both in terms of who is eligible for it, what employers are covered, and also for what circumstances would trigger somebody's rights under the Family Medical Leave Act. So first of all, under the old existing law, an employee is only eligible if they've worked for a company for a full year. That 1 year is waived, and now employees would be eligible to apply for approved leave of absence after only 30 days on the job. Originally, under the Family Medical Leave Act, employees would have to meet a threshold hours of work requirement where they basically would have had to have worked 1,250 hours to be eligible. That no longer applies. So they could be eligible right away, even in part-time status or temporary status, after working only 30 days on the job.
Wow.
So that certainly expands who's covered. And then what's important about this is the definition of family member. So certainly if an employee needs time off on them, you know, for their own condition, they're entitled to take time off. But the family member definition also was expanded. So it would be normally you can take the time for your parent, your spouse, or your child up to the age of 18. That has also been expanded now to cover, again, assuming everything is passed and signed as the law is proposed now, would cover siblings. It would cover parents-in-law. It would cover domestic partners, people who live together. You know, so it's a really broader definition of when I can take time off. The thing to keep in mind, though, also, if I am eligible for this expanded FMLA, I would be entitled to 12 weeks of time off, and my employer can't be mad at me or can't hold it against me for purposes of, you know, you really just carve that out as if I was working on those days that I was taking approved FMLA. So while on FMLA, even under the expanded law, the existing law, it's unpaid FMLA. That also will change under the proposed law in this way. So under the expanded Family Medical Leave Act, there's a 14-day waiting period where employees don't get paid. They are on approved leave, but they don't get paid for a 14-day waiting period. Then as of day 15, and again, this is up to 12 full work weeks, as of day 15, I start getting 2/3 of my regular pay, which is a nice deal. Obviously, it's a bad situation that would cause me to need time off for that, but it really is intended to help the families, help the community, so that people do stay home when they're sick.
No, I just want to interject this. It's really a big change because, you know, the FMLA, as you said, was just leave, which means they would have to sort of, you know, guarantee your job when you came back, but there was no duty to pay. And now it's going to change it to, after that 14-day period, it's a 2/3 of your salary for a 12-week period. That's a really amazing benefit. But I want to ask you, Jill, if let's just say that Governor Pritzker or somebody says, okay, no one can go to the workplace. You can't go to your office. You can't go to your job. Everybody has to stay at home. Would this kick in? It's hard. I mean, I know it's hard to ask you this because it's a brand new law. We haven't seen it tested out yet. But FMLA has to do with taking care of someone who's sick or taking care of yourself. Is just you all have to stay at home enough to trigger this really wonderful benefit for employees?
It may or may not be, and I hate that lawyer answer, but from a first standpoint, if, let's say, the governor, as you said, requires everyone to work from home, if I'm working from home, Karen, I'm not on leave.
Right.
I'm just simply, that's geography. I'm just getting, you know, performing my services at a different place, but I'm still getting paid. This would be above and beyond that. This is above and beyond any existing sick leave rights that somebody has. So, for example, in Chicago, Chicago employers and Cook County employers already have to provide employees 40 hours of paid sick time for each year. So this is above and beyond that. If somebody needs time off due to this coronavirus symptoms, or because they themselves have it, or they're caring for a family member, or again, this is also somebody that maybe they're perfectly healthy and everyone in their family is healthy, but they have a child who's under age 18 that can't go to school. And they are simply providing, you know, I don't want to say babysitting, but they're with their child. And of course, there's arrangements being made through the Board of Ed to make sure everybody's still, you know, taking their classes from home. But this is not only for a medical condition. So to answer your question, yes, if the governor says work from home, that does not trigger the expanded leave under this federal proposed bill, because they're not on leave, they're working. There is a separate piece of this, though, as well, that I haven't mentioned yet, and that is paid emergency sick leave. So even though I said the FMLA law would be expanded and there's a 14-day period before you start receiving your 2/3 of pay, another feature of this bill is that employees would be entitled to 80 hours of paid time off, emergency paid time off, for that same reason. And certainly you can imagine it would probably be used at the outset. Somebody would bridge the gap between the 14-day waiting period. So more than likely, if I needed time off, I would use my emergency paid sick leave to be at home. And then I would go into the unpaid status for the remainder of the 12 weeks if, you know, I really had a medical need for that much time off.
This is a kind of a complicated area. And I think as we go on and the law does get passed as we expect it will, but we're not quite sure if it's going to be the same exact version. I think this is something that's very important that you all look into if these types of things are going to affect you. And I assume it's going to affect a lot of people. Mike in Chicago has a question about restaurants. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I was just wondering if the state or that we have to close, are they going to do anything for the owners that food spoilage?
That's a great question. I haven't seen anything, Karen. I don't know if you have. What I neglected to mention, though, is that there is a provision in this proposed bill that does allow for a tax credit for employers so they can recoup this money down the road. There are certain caps, and they're not going to get every, you know, penny on dollar, but I don't know the answer to that, Karen. Have you heard of anything?
No, and I guess I'd like to talk about the issue generally. And again, we're sort of on uncharted grounds here. So you've got one of the experts in the city here where that we're talking to, and we just don't know. But let's just say the restaurants are going to close down. And I really feel for the bartenders and the waitresses and the wait staff people, they largely work on tips. I assume that the owners are still going to have to, under this law, there's a possibility that they're still going to have to pay these people, right?
Correct.
So, but that amount is very limited, and it's usually under minimum wage, is my understanding. So the question is, are they going to have to pay what they would be receiving in tips? Do we even know that?
I haven't seen anything address that, Karen. I'd be speculating. But I can tell you that Illinois in particular is very sensitive to the hospitality industry, and they really do tend to have rules and, specific regulations that apply only to, you know, the hospitality industry, restaurants, hotels, et cetera. I personally wouldn't at all be surprised if that's the result.
I agree. And it's just so, dramatic. I mean, I've just heard people talk about, their mortgages foreclosing and because people work on tips. And, I don't know. I mean, there's going to be unemployment available. And I know that I think this bill actually put some money into the states for unemployment. But as we know, unemployment doesn't really give you, exactly what you're making. And it's a stopgap. It's not really something that you're meant to live on. But
and adding another feature to that hit me upside the head today, I was in a Uber and a driver said to me, you know what, this is the worst time that this could be happening because this is when I do work overtime because I want to save up for my taxes that are due next month.
Right.
So now people are going to be driving when, even if they are sick. I mean, I hope that's not the case, but it's really bad timing on top of this.
Well, and I was on a cab coming here and the man was crying. He says, I support a family of six, including an elderly mother, and I pay a huge amount of rent for this cab every day. I mean, he pays $100 a day. He's got to make $100 before he makes a cent. And he said it's going to be just a few weeks before I'm broke. And this is, whenever you think you have a bad situation, I guess there's always somebody that has a worse problem. But I guess, I had a texter from the 312 area code say this is difficult for employees to navigate. Do you think, Jill, that there is going to be some easy to use, user-friendly kind of explanation of what these laws are going to provide somewhere so that employees don't have to consult a lawyer? I mean, even employers don't even know exactly what they're supposed to do. How do employees get to know what their rights are?
Yeah, well, the good news is part of the proposed bill is a requirement that a simple user-friendly poster be prepared within 7 days. So assuming it's effective tomorrow, we would have some user-friendly communication within a week.
Oh, that's good. Jill O'Brien, thank you so much for joining us. Jill is a partner with Lehner Muchin. If anyone wants to get in touch with Jill, where would they reach her?
So my direct dial, or our office number is 312-467-9800. There's 45 of us attorneys, and this is our area of expertise. So if I'm not available, you can reach any of us. But I can also be reached at my email, jobrien at Laner, LanerMuchin.com.
Thank you, Jill O'Brien, and stay safe. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN.